Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip, and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Okay. Well, what is this like? Back in beginning of July, we had a visiting speaker. He's one of our mission associates, a chap called Pepe Figueroa from Colombia. And he came and preached for us. Some of you will remember that. And there was something that he said in his sermon that just struck me almost like a lightning bolt. It was like, you know, I knew it was the word of God for us. And as he said it, I knew I needed to bring that word back to us on the occasion of us arriving here. But before I get to it, let me first tell you a story. Back in Jesus' day, unlike today, banks were not reliable. You know, now, these days, banks are really reliable, aren't they? You know? But back in Jesus' day, they were really not reliable. So if you had money, you did not put it in the bank. Not normal people, anyway. The safest way to keep your money back in the first century was you would get a clay jar, and you would put your gold and your silver and your jewelry in the clay jar. You would seal the clay jar, and you would go and bury it in a field. That's what people did. That's how they kept their money. There was a rabbinic saying. There was only one safe repository for money, the earth. So that's how they looked after their money. In fact, Josephus wrote, "Gold and silver and the rest of that most precious furniture which the Jews had and which the owners treasured up underground against the uncertain fortunes of war." That's what they did. They buried their treasure. And then just occasionally, somebody would die without telling their relatives where they'd put the treasure. Or maybe some not-so-sensible person would bury treasure and then forget. Now, which field was it? They just couldn't remember where they'd buried their gold and their silver. And so there was, out in the fields, buried treasure that no one was ever going to claim. And Jesus told a story about that type of treasure. And it comes in Matthew 13, verse 44. It's just one verse, the parable of the hidden treasure. And I'll read it to you. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field." Now, the story would have immediately resonated with Jesus' audience. Why? Because this was their dream. We all love to dream, don't we? We all love to dream. You know, what would it be like to be a multimillionaire? What would it be like to live on Tottridge Lane or, you know, oh my. The modern hidden treasure story or hidden treasure dream is the lottery, isn't it? You know, what would it be like to win the £12 million rollover that they had this weekend? What would it be like? Oh my goodness. The success of the lottery is entirely dependent on our desire to dream. I might get the winning ticket. And so it was with them back in the first century. They were often trapped in poverty. They were oppressed by the Romans. They were barely able to feed their families. Oh, to find hidden treasure, riches beyond imagining. Now, if you found hidden treasure, as the man in Jesus' story did, you would go out and you would sell everything to legitimately acquire that hidden treasure. And that's, of course, exactly what he did. He went and he sold everything to buy the field so that he would become the legitimate owner of that treasure. Now, what would a field be worth? The average value of agricultural land in the UK is about £7,000 an acre. Far more, actually, in the southeast of England, where it can be several times that per acre. So, say, well, let's work on the £7,000 an acre, and maybe an average field is 10 acres. So, £70,000, quite a lot of money. And the man in Jesus' story is almost certainly not a wealthy man. And so he goes and sells everything. I wonder what he sold. Maybe he sold his house. He sold his car. He sold his furniture. He sold his clothes, except the ones he was standing up in. He sold all the food he had in the fridge. He sold the fridge. He sold everything. He sold everything. And he just about cobbled enough money together. And he goes and he buys that field. Now, over the past 5 years, we have been, as a church, on a journey of trying to move our church premises from Holden Road, from where we walked this morning, up to here, this new church centre on the High Road. And it has been inordinately expensive. We have had to fundraise. The membership of St. Barnabas, that is you, have given over £2 million. I want to say thank you for that. Thank you for that. People have gone without holidays. People have sold investments and given us the money. We even got someone give us a diamond ring. You know, they're just giving their valuables. And then we, as a church, we didn't have enough just from that. So we had to sell everything that we had, practically. We sold the old church. We no longer had the old church. We are, as of Friday, we have no rights over that church. In fact, the group of us who gathered outside it, we were trespassing this morning, but don't tell anybody. We sold the bungalow next door to the church. We sold another house that we'd owned for a long time. We sold a flat that we had been given. And then that wasn't enough. So we sold loads of stuff on eBay. You know, stuff that we didn't need, bits of wood. I mean, anything. We just sold everything we had, practically. And we managed to just about cobble together enough money to buy the building and do the conversion works. And here we are. Yay. Here we are. But looking out on you this morning and seeing quite a big crowd on the first floor as well, you've all probably seen the film Jaws. There's a line in Jaws where he says, "We're going to need a bigger boat." And guys, I say to you this morning, we're going to need a bigger church. Because, I mean, we're full. We're full on week one. That's a bit worrying, isn't it? And as you know, having cobbled together all the money that we could get, we have managed to get this far, but we still haven't built a new auditorium. We are planned here, in this section here, to build a 500-seat auditorium, but we need another £4 million, and if you've got it, just come and see me.
Love it, love it.
But here we are. like the man in Jesus' story. It's been a very difficult journey. We've been repeatedly told that it was impossible, that it couldn't be done, that we didn't have enough money. There were several occasions where the entire project almost fell apart. There was a period of 2.5 months over one summer where the project actually was closed down because it was deemed unviable, only to be resurrected to start it up again in the autumn. And all that journey, that struggle to buy a building. And I admit that I found this particularly hard because my natural default setting would be not to spend lots of money on buildings. You know, given the choice, I would want to spend our money on mission, on employing more youth workers and evangelists and doing stuff out in the community. But here we are, having stretched ourselves beyond all reasonable limits in order to buy and kit out a building. And it's fair to say that some people think we're crazy. And you know, I think the friends of the man in Jesus' story would have thought he was crazy. I can imagine them saying to him, "You did what? You sold your house, your car, your clothes, your food, your fridge? You sold everything to buy a field? You must be nuts." But the man was not interested in the field. And this is the word that I got from Pepe. The field is not the treasure. The field is not the treasure. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The building, this amazing new center, and it is amazing, which we've spent so much money on, so much effort to acquire, it is not the treasure. We may have spent all this money on this building, but it really, really is not the treasure. In Jesus' story, the field to that man was a means to an end. It was a means of acquiring the treasure. The man purely bought the field to get to the treasure. So what is the treasure? Well, fortunately, this is a parable. And as you know, Jesus' parables are symbolic stories which have a meaning behind them. And actually, Jesus explains what the parable is about right at the beginning of the parable, where he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field." The treasure is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The kingdom is the most valuable thing in the world. It's the most valuable thing in the universe. You would sell anything to get the kingdom. The kingdom is the treasure. Now, we know that a church building is not the church, is it? The church is the people, the community. And the community, this you lot. And the community of the church is priceless. It's just beyond value. But there is something even more valuable here. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the most valuable thing in all of creation. And the kingdom of God is anywhere where God is king. It's as simple as that. That's the treasure. Treasure's not the field in Jesus' story. The treasure's not the building in our story. The treasure is the kingdom, the place where God is king. And the most important place where God can be king is in our hearts. When we invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives and we say, "Lord, I want you to be king. I want you to rule over my life, on over everything I do and everything I have, to be my king. That's the treasure. Then we have treasure within, as Paul teaches. So why do we need a building? If we're carrying the treasure inside us, why do we need a building? Why do we spend all this money on a building when it's not the treasure? We spend this money on the building because we believe that this building is an amazing tool, an amazing means to an end, if you like, of seeing the kingdom come. Seeing the kingdom come to us. Seeing the kingdom come to our community. Seeing the kingdom come to North Finchley and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear said. The building itself is of no consequence. It is a means to an end. The treasure is not the field is not the treasure. But the kingdom of God is, and to get the kingdom of God, we will do anything, spend anything, sell anything, in order that we might see God's kingdom come. Isn't that the heart of what Jesus taught us to pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. We are just at the beginning of a journey. The real journey starts today when we invite God's kingdom to work in this place and out of this place. And may God be glorified through us. Shall we pray? Father, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come here. Here in this place, here in North Finchley, here in North London, your kingdom come. Lord, may this day be, from this day on, there be an explosion of the increase of your kingdom in this area, in our hearts and out of us to the community beyond. Lord, that's our desire, and we know it's your desire as well. So we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.